the plate. High fly ball into right field. She is gone! In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
That's Vin Scully's epic call as Kurt Gibson sends the Dodgers to a Game 1 victory in the 1988 World Series with a pinch-hit walk-off home run. The Dodgers would then go on to defeat the A's in five games, and to date, that was the last time that the Dodgers were World Series champions. The architect behind that team was Fred Clare. He served in numerous roles for the Dodgers, but he took over as general manager in 1987, and he held that position until 1998. Years later, Fred Clare would enter another battle as he was diagnosed with skin cancer in 2015. His journey from the field of baseball and through his fight against cancer has now been penned into a book. It's called Extra Innings, Fred Clare's Journey to City of Hope and Finding a World Championship Team. It's penned by Tim Madigan. We'll talk about the release of this book, which is set for July, with the man himself. Fred Clare, former Dodgers general manager, joining us right now over the phone. And Fred, I'm thrilled to get you on the show today. I'm really looking forward to the conversation. Thank you so much for joining us.
Jordan, good to be with you.
I'm looking forward to the conversation, and I know we can talk about your career in baseball, but before we get rolling with that, we have to talk about your new book. It's called Extra Innings, Fred Clare's Journey to City of Hope and Finding a World Championship Team. I know it's available right now for pre-order. It's actually going to be shipped out in July, but there's something a little extra special attached with this book, especially if you use the avenue of a pre-order.
Well, the price is $24.95 for the book, and yes, you can pre-order now. And the other thing that's very special about it, Jordan, and thanks for asking, is that all net proceeds from the book go to the City of Hope, and I've been a patient at the City of Hope during the last 4 years while undergoing cancer treatment, two surgeries. But during the time that I've been there, I've just seen the remarkable work that City of Hope does for so many patients, for so many people, so many families. And from the outset, seeing the work that they did, wanted to become a supporter of City Hope, and have been the last few years. We had two successful golf tournaments, celebrity golf tournaments, that provided $500,000 for the City of Hope. And it's been very rewarding to see that with a lot of support from so many old friends from my days in baseball and my other involvement. So it's been a very satisfying journey to see the work that we've been able to do and the rewards that we've been able to give City of Hope.
We'll talk more about City of Hope and your latest journey with City of Hope here in just a bit, but I want to give the listeners a background on you, Fred, and what you've meant to the game of baseball, especially the Los Angeles Dodgers organization. I think you have one of the most fascinating stories, and for those who are unaware, your journey actually begins with baseball as a beat writer for the Long Beach Press-Telegram, correct?
That's right. That was my first really close association to baseball or daily association, but Jordan, my love for the game goes back to the time that as a kid that I saw my first game at Crosley Field in Cincinnati. So saying Crosley Field dates it in itself, but I've really been a follower of the game. I would say from the age of 10 or 11, I mean, I can well remember, for example, the 1948 World Series, which certainly dates me, but my memory is there is because my brother and I had a little business in Ohio of trapping muskrats and raised enough money to buy the 1948 World Series film. So I have a long love and passion for the game of baseball that ultimately led me to the Dodgers.
Which is fascinating because you're a fan as a kid and you grow up loving the game of baseball. You become a beat writer following the Dodgers and the Angels. And it was around 1969 that you actually became a member of the Dodgers organization. Is that correct?
That is correct. I was started the 1969 season covering the Dodgers for the Long Beach newspaper. and in 1969 was offered the position of director of publicity. So that was the day that I started. I know the date very well because it was the date, of course, that man first walked on the moon. So that date is etched in my memory for a number of reasons, and that started my journey with the Dodgers. And then in 1975, was promoted to vice president of public relations and promotions. And then 1981, was appointed executive vice president, and then ultimately to the position of executive vice president and general manager at the start of the 1987 season.
That's really where I want to begin this conversation about baseball, because it's such a fascinating year. In fact, the last time the Dodgers won a World Series, 1988, you were the guy that helped construct that team. And that 1987, those winter meetings, first off, that entire story is just fascinating to me. When Peter O'Malley offers you this gig, someone that was a beat writer 19 years earlier, and you've worked your way up, you took this position, and this was not a good Dodger team. I mean, they had lost, what, 90 games the previous two seasons?
We finished in, I took over in 1987 after three games in Houston. We had finished 16 games under 500 in 1986. And then we're to finish 16 games under in 1987. We made a number of moves. And then, of course, in 1988, with the contributions of many, many people, we won the World Series championship. So that was a very certainly memorable time, important time, and certainly an important time in Dodger history.
There's no question about it. And during that, but before that season, you made a number of moves that really transformed that Dodger team into that World Series champion. And there's one trade in particular, Fred, that I've always wondered how it came about. There's a three-team deal that struck in 1987. The Dodgers trade Bob Welch and Matt Young. They go to Oakland. Jack Savage goes to the Mets. Oakland A's are going to send Alfredo Griffin along with Jay Howell, who played a huge role with this Dodger team. And the Mets send Jesse Orosco to L.A. So it's a three-team deal. And what's always fascinated me about this is the Dodgers beat the Mets in seven games and the Dodgers beat the A's in five to win the World Series. So this three-team deal that was constructed in 1987 was really kind of an appetizer for what was to come postseason time.
Well, Jordan, your history of the Dodgers and that trade is certainly right on target, because when you mention the name of Jack Savage, you mentioned a key component that few have touched upon. But the key to that trade is after the 1987 season, and keep in mind, again, we finished 16 games under 500. In my mind, we had three glaring weaknesses, three spots that had to be filled if we were going to be a contending team. We absolutely had to have a shortstop. And we also needed to have a closer. You could not be a championship game, a championship team, without a good shortstop, an outstanding shortstop, and without a closer. And so the three-team trade, as you mentioned, was with the Mets and the Oakland A's, and we were, as our receiving part of the trade, we received shortstop Alfredo Griffin from the A's. Tremendous defensive shortstop, tremendous leader on the team. We received Jay Howell from the A's, who was our closer and did a tremendous job in 1988 and after that. And then from the Mets, we received Jesse Orosco from the Mets for the left-handed relief pitcher. But part of that, and part of that deal, it was Jack Savage, who you mentioned, and a name probably a few people know, who went to the Mets, but I remember that in the meeting that I was having with our people, one of the people in the meeting said, "Fred, you know, Jack Savage is rated one of our top right-handed young right-handed pitchers." And I recalled in my mind, in the 87 season, I'd spent time with a scout from Cincinnati, Carl Lowenstein, who I had great respect for, because when I would go into a city, I would always visit with our scouts in that area. And I remember Carl's report on Jack that he really didn't feel that he would be a significant major league pitcher. And I remember saying, "Look, we've got a three-team trade here that's going to fill a lot of our needs. With all due respect to Jack Savage, we're not going to let him stay and stand in the way. So the deal, Bobby Welch was a great pitcher, a wonderful man, someone that I had great respect for. But in any trade, you have to give up value to get value. And, of course, that trade proved to be pivotal in our season.
And there was another trade that was in the works, and I know it just worked out okay for the Dodgers, that you didn't have to trade for Kurt Gibson. And obviously, if we go back to 1988, it's one of the most memorable, one of the most epic and historical highlights, Kurt Gibson going yard with Mike Davis on second base after drawing a two-out walk right off Dennis Eckersley to win Game 1 of the World Series. Kurt Gibson becomes a key member of that offseason, and you didn't have to trade for Kurt Gibson.
Didn't have to trade. Actually, again, Jordan, your history is very good, because at the winter meetings in 87, I tried to trade for Kurt Gibson. I had long, extensive talks with Bill LaJoy, a wonderful man who was the general manager of the Detroit Tigers. I had great reports on Kirk. His record spoke for itself. But again, one of our scouts, Dale McReynolds, had seen Kirk from college through his career. And was so high on what Kirk could bring to a team. And so we tried to make the trade of Pedro Guerrero for Kirk Gibson at the winter meetings in 87. But baseball and Major League Baseball was under the cloud of a collusion case. And it was in question as to what the status of Kirk would be. Would he become a free agent? What would be the ramifications related to a trade? So the trade didn't take place, but when the 1988 began and Kirk was declared a free agent, he became my number one priority, that we needed to bring Kirk to the Dodgers if we were going to have a championship team.
You definitely made a number of different moves. Rick Dempsey, Mickey Hatcher, we talked about Kirk Gibson, we talked about the three-team deal. Going back to that historical 1988 season, Fred, at what point in time did you sit back and say, okay, this is a team that can win the World Series?
Well, it evolved, and it really evolved from, as history has noted, from the first spring training game at Holman Stadium in Vero Beach, when Jesse Orozco, as noted, who we had acquired in the trade, thought he would play a little trick on Kirk and put shoe black in Kirk's hat. And when Kirk went out to run before the game at Holman Stadium and his cap flew off and the fans began to point to Kirk in the face, and Kirk reached up and found shoe black on his forehead, he was not a happy camper. So that evolved. And in the book, Tim Madigan covers this in great detail in interviews with Kirk and others. As far as that season, Kirk set the tone, certainly, in terms of what he was all about, what was critical to him as far as being part of a team. And he has some wonderful quotes in this book that I think the fans will really enjoy, because this is coming directly from Kirk to the writer Tim Madigan. And then as the season started and as we saw how this team was coming together, two other people who were very important that we acquired late in the 87 season in my first significant trade, John Shelby coming from the Orioles and at the beginning of 87 and having a good season for us and carrying that over to 88. And the same was true of Tim Belcher, who we had acquired late in 87, who got off to a great start in 88. But as this team was coming together, and it takes time, you had the mixture of the addition of so many players, of Shelby, of Kirk, of Hatcher, of Dempsey, of Howe, of Griffin, of Orozco, blending with Mike Socian, Steve Sachs, and Mike Marshall, and certainly Oral Hershiser. But it was almost a case of an evolution that month by month, April, May, June, something's happening here. We're not only winning. You could see and feel in the clubhouse, and the fans could see this team was truly coming together. And by the time that we got to September with Oral on a pitching performance role that was historic, breaking Don Drysdale's record, and moving then into the postseason, we knew and felt that we had a chance to do something of great significance.
Again, we're being joined right now by Fred Clair, former Los Angeles Dodgers general manager. I want to continue the conversation. Fred has agreed to hang around with us for another segment. When we return, we're going to talk about analytics in baseball. I know it seems like a new term. It seems like it's the new flashy way the game is moving. But analytics played a factor in the Dodgers 1988 World Series championship. I want to talk about that. Plus, we'll talk about some of the other moves that Fred made as general manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers. More coming up with Fred Clair here on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios.